First of all, I'd like to thank the devotees from LA for inviting me to come here and give this talk. I actually gave this presentation 2 years ago, and from the response I got, I think people enjoyed it. And then last year, I gave the same presentation to the devotees in Florida, and they also seemed to really find some fruit or worthwhileness in it. Okay, good. Thank you. This, of course, is a story that I had personal experience with, association with Jayananda Prabhu, which is today, of course, is his disappearance day, I believe. The first portion of this is several little episodes that I'm going to read. The first portion was sent to me, or it was on the internet or something. I don't know how I got it, but last night as I was preparing for this, I found it. And I realized it's sort of a perfect introduction for what I'm going to share with you for the basic body of the story. But it actually happened after the event that I'm going to share with you. So this is kind of like if you go to the movies and they show you like the opening section, and then they go back and tell the story. So that's what the first episode is. It was authored by Adi Keshava Das, who was in New York at the temple president at that time. And so I'll start with that, and then I'll try to introduce each section as we go along. So this particular episode is referred to as Anointed by Jayananda's Kindness. So this is Adi Keshava speaking. The first time we went to meeting with the doctors were kind of pushing Jayananda around. So I went with him. And so the doctor gave us a whole long medical explanation. Finally, I said to the doctor, and this is very Adi Keshava-like, "Look, doc, when's he going to croak?" The doctor flipped out. He said, "You can't say that in front of a patient." He got really upset. I said, "Don't worry about it. He's not worried." I said, "You're not scared of death, are you, Jayananda?" He said, "Nah, I guess I'm a little, but you know, I'm getting over it." The doctor was just amazed. So I said, "Look, we just want to know the straight goods. When's he going to croak?" The doctor said, "I don't particularly appreciate your terminology, but if we give him the chemotherapy and the x-ray treatments for this and that, then he'll be okay." I said, "No, I mean without the drugs, when's he going to croak?" So the doctor said, "Well, I can tell that if he takes advice from people like you, he's going to die in a short time." So Jayananda said, "Well, that's what I wanted to know." Then immediately he turned around. He's so transcendental. Immediately he turns around and he says, "Adi Keshava, I've got this plan. Because you know, Jayananda had these checks he got every month from his trust fund." He said, "I've got this plan how I'm going to get all the money out of my trust fund." Immediately, that was the first thought he got. "The last thing I want to do is get all this money and then give it, and then I'll send it to Srila Prabhupada. Then there's nothing my father or mother can do anymore. There's nothing my parents can do. There's nothing my sister can do. So then all they could do is pay the bills anyway." He had this idea immediately as soon as the doctor told him he was going to leave. And he said, "The other thing we've got to do is draw up plans for the Rath Yatra cart. Go get my Aishwar." So that's episode one. So the next part, please indulge me for a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about myself just so you get a full understanding of the relationship I had with Jayananda, because you'll see as the story unfolds, I had no idea what I was getting into, but you'll see it was a wonderful event. So this is episode two. What is a Rath cart? I was tossed into the frenzy of Rath Yatra construction 3 days prior to the now quite famous parade that went down Fifth Avenue in the summer of 1976. Srila Prabhupada attended that public event with much satisfaction, but that three-cart parade almost didn't happen. Shortly after the devotees acquired the famous 13-story structure on 55th Street, it was decided that the temple room would be built as a replica of the intricately designed historical Radha Govinda temple facade in Vrindavan, India. When I arrived, each of the ornamental facade parts were being expertly crafted by a crew of talented sculptors. But nobody had figured out how all of these components would all be held together and suspended in front of the altar without falling down. I had studied industrial design at the University of Kansas, so when the temple management realized what my natural strengths were, I was relieved from doing book distribution from every Kmart parking lot in America. I had been magically scooped up by Tamal Krishna and Vishnu John's legacy Radha-Dhamidhar traveling Sankirtan party during my senior year at the university, 6 months prior to graduating. Dhrishtadyumna and Sudama's bus had just been sent out from the big Chicago gathering to tour America, and they had come to the University of Kansas. At that time, there did not seem to be any possible way I could extract myself from the four-year college plan my parents had insisted I follow. So I had been praying urgently to somehow find a way to become a disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, for Krishna to do something about my quandary. Krishna responded by sending an entire bus of about 30 devotees to come and take me away in what appeared to me to be a direct answer to that prayer. But alas, that is a whole different captivating story I can tell on another occasion. So I took off the knee pads I had been accustomed to wear when bending down to sell BBT books to people sitting in their car, and I went back to my drawing table. That felt like a much better fit for my dharma anyway, having come from a family of five generations of engineers. My first big task was to figure out how the elephants, the numerous spools, the large teeming gila creature, and the row of small or ornate corbels would all be assembled safely over everyone's head, contiguously replicating the portico in the 55th Street Temple Room. Meanwhile, in January of 1976, Jayananda had started with a small crew of helpers to begin the construction of the Rothkart wheels with the intention that they would be used that summer for a big parade. Jayananda apparently felt that because of my background, I might be able to help him resolve some design details on the Rothkarts, even though I had never been to a Rathyatra parade, didn't know what the word meant, or even seen a Rothkart, what to speak of build one. Nonetheless, Jayananda would periodically consult with me a few times at 6 a.m. during japa period to assuage his concerns. These small informal exchanges occurred several times from February till June of 1976 during the construction of the carts to see what my suggestions were. I must confess that most of the time I could not grasp what he was describing to me because of my utter lack of experience with anything he would inquire about. I couldn't even imagine a parade float with wheels bigger than my 6-foot profile. So I can't really say I contributed much to these mini engineering consultation sessions. All I really did was offer a few insignificant words of encouragement, confirming what Jayananda had envisioned all along. I was flattered that he seemed to appreciate my counsel, because I was so new and he was so highly regarded as a senior devotee. So it was easy to offer him a whole lot of genuine respect, but all I could really do is encourage him to press on confidentially. We would always end these cherished talks mutually agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to get everything done well. Episode 3, Jayananda's super excellent character. Jayananda worked diligently with the Rothkart crew for hours, for long hours for several months. The cutting and welding of 8 new steel wheels with an 8-foot diameter had never been done before, and it was a lot of work. To this day, I don't know of any other ISKCON Rothkart that has 8-foot wheels. Subhadra's cart was shipped in from Chicago, and it did not require new wheels. Jampavan was a long-standing dear friend of Jayananda, and they were inseparable friends. They both appeared to be in the prime of their life, like two huge demigods. However, few people were aware of the fact that Jayananda had recently been diagnosed with leukemia, and everything he did was challenged by intense pain in his leg. Although we did not know this at the time, Jayananda would only be with us for a little more than 1 year before his illness broke his body completely down. Yet every day, Jayananda pressed on with hardly a complaint to anyone. Occasionally, he would quietly reveal to his close friend Jambavan how much he was suffering. But most of the devotees had no idea how serious his illness was. The fact that Jayananda carried on so stoically was further evidence of how mature his Krishna consciousness was. It was later decided that Jayananda should go to Los Angeles, where the warmer weather might not be so hard on his health. After arriving there in the spring of 1977, he had a tremendous vision of Rath Yatra proceeding down the Venice boardwalk right along the beachfront. However, his situation worsened. His parents gifted him with funds for medical treatment, hoping to reverse his prognosis, but neither the California sun nor the best of medical treatment would modify Lord Jagannath's plans to bring his devotee home. When it became evident that Jayananda's body was rapidly being consumed by the disease, he surrendered everything he had left to his eternal friend, Lord Jagannath, and gave his medical funds to start making arrangements for a Venice Beach Rath Yatra festival. It was a visionary plan that even took Rameshwar by surprise, but everyone got behind his dream and worked fanatically to make it come true. It was the last service Jayananda engaged in, but he did not live long enough to be there when the chariots rolled down the Venice boardwalk. To this credit, of all the Los Angeles devotees, this festival has since become the biggest and most celebrated Rath Yatra held consistently in the Western world since then. Back in New York, Jayananda and Jambavan were working so hard, running around to do what they needed to be done to get the New York Rath carts built, that the rest of the temple members did not see them very much. Typically, Jayananda and Jambavan would arrive so late to the Sunday feast that the other devotees had finished eating. So they descended into the back utility room to eat their feast in what seemed like a quiet cave. After working hard with heavy piles of steel and lumber all day long, they were hungry and ready to eat in a serious way. They used multiple half-gallon milk containers for drinking cups, one filled with nectar and the other filled with sweet rice, and they ate off of three plates at once. Often one was completely filled with nothing but just pakoras, while the other plates were filled with rice and sabji, respectively. When they sat down to eat, it was like Bhima coming home with a hunger that could not be satisfied, even if they ate all of Mount Meru. The parade was scheduled to go down Fifth Avenue on Sunday, July 18th, 1976. As that date got closer, Jayananda became anxious that he would not be able to complete the construction of the three chariots in time. So he requested Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Adhikesha Swami for more men to help. Wednesday evening, prior to the Sunday of the parade, these two senior devotees instructed me to redirect the Radha Govinda temple construction crew to join the Rath Yatra crew. The next morning, our team of artisans marched up to the abandoned train station on the west side of Manhattan at 60th Street, where the carts were rising up from the asphalt parking lot. Jayananda was extremely happy to see us, and his enthusiasm was contagious. He immediately gave each appropriate task to do, all the while he was repeatedly expressing his sincere gratitude for our assistance. He was a dynamic leader. What soon became evident was that he worked harder than everyone else, took care of his crew, and would never ask anyone to do something that he himself was not prepared to do if it needed to be done. Episode 4, Watermelon Prasadam. Jayananda's concern about completing the carts by Sunday morning subsided with the additional help. Everything seemed to get back on schedule, and the mood was jovial and exciting. Lord Jagannath was going to rule Manhattan on Sunday, And we were all going to be there, dancing, chanting, and feasting sumptuously. Saturday afternoon, someone showed up with a sizable watermelon and gave it to Jayananda to share with his crew. It's not clear where they got it from, but they did say that it hadn't been offered yet. Jayananda didn't waste any time. He immediately cradled the watermelon in both hands, squatted real low, and then hurled it up into the air like an exploding cannonball. When the watermelon crested at about 30 feet, Jayananda bellowed out, "Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu!" When the green cannonball came crashing down into the parking lot, it exploded in the red shrapnel. Jayananda immediately collected all the large chunks and began personally distributing them to all the devotees who watched on at this rather unusual, spontaneous offering with amusement. As the evening got closer, we finally got the heavy canopy in place on top of Balaram's cart, and were anxious to work out the details with the raising mechanism. This was, in fact, one of the things that Jayananda had come to speak to me about at 5 a.m. one morning when I was chanting my rounds. I understood that he wanted to lift a tent-like structure, but because I had never seen a Roth cart before, I really did not feel qualified to give him any advice at all. So like the other times, we departed agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to figure it out. Now that I had an opportunity to study carts, I could observe the mechanism he described. And it all came in perspective. I, too, was getting very excited to see how it was all coming together. Episode 5, Sigh of Relief. Jayananda had slowed down enough where we were able to chat a bit as we approached the final stage of completing the chariots. We backed away from the carts to visualize what they were going to look like as they rolled down Fifth Avenue. Jayananda was a relentless captain who forged ahead for 6 months, overcoming all sorts of obstacles. On this triumphant evening, before the parade, this great devotee of Lord Jagannath, Jayananda Prabhu, took a rare moment with me to review all that had been accomplished, and it was good. It was outrageously glorious, and we all felt good about being part of it. The six-month marathon would culminate the following day, when Srila Prabhupada joined us for the biggest Rath Yatra ever to occur outside of Jagannath Puri. After months of planning, all three carts were manifesting with all the glory of great spiritual pageantry. New York had never seen anything like this before, and we were fired up. While we were enjoying this moment, the crew continued to complete the tasks they were given. Ropes were attached, bolts were tightened, and the final planning was getting done. The canopy mechanism was being tested, and although I had hardly done anything, Jayananda embraced my friendship as if I was one of the guys who was there welding the wheels with him when they started in the freezing month of January. Balaram's canopy was going up, and we were marveling at how spiritually seductive it was. A tower of blue and red against the dismal backdrop of a train station that was now just a dump for old cars, broken bottles, rusted steel, and crumpled beer cans. Balaram's canopy was now fully extended, and it stood majestically 40 feet tall into the air for about 3 minutes. And then it happened. Episode 6, Lord Vayu's Challenge. Excuse me. An unexpected gust of wind came rushing down the Hudson River. It blew over the top of the train station roof, right where we staged the construction of the carts, and it caught Balaram's huge canopy like a sail. The problem was that the sail was not on a boat. It was on a 2-ton Roth cart, which was blocked into place, and the forces were too much for the center-supporting telescope to endure. The metal fatigued, and the whole top of Balaram's cart came crashing down to the ground with a thundering sound. We all gasped with dismay. Jayananda watched the whole thing with his big eyes and was left standing speechless, temporarily paralyzed. Nobody was hurt, But in about 3 seconds, the towering temple of bright blue had been radically transformed into what appeared to be an old crumpled shop rag lying amidst splintered wood and tangled rope. The long and arduous labor of love that had begun in the dirty basement of the old Brooklyn BBT binary building last winter had a completely unexpected encounter with tremendous misfortune. We all turned to Jayananda. What should we do, Captain? There was a long, quiet pause as we all looked at what had just happened. The first thing Jayananda said was, "That cart is out of the parade. We will just have to make modifications and have a two-cart parade." He then went on to apologize to everyone for what he obviously felt was a terrible mistake on his part. And it was clear he was really having a hard time accepting what happened while also being looped with the now additional burden of having to decide what to do next. He was a man and a great leader, but this was completely uncharted territory. Jayananda did not shed tears, but it was evident that his soul was crying. This was supposed to be his triumphant moment, but instead, in one insignificant moment, Lord Vayu decided to mess with everyone's head. Needless to say, the mood immediately changed. The satisfaction of triumph and success we were all basking in just moments before were literally blown away and replaced with heartbreak. Jayananda felt that the failure of Balaram's cart was his responsibility, and he was absorbing the experience as a tremendous failure. I was also overwhelmed by the ominous mood that had quickly set in. I kept thinking, what a waste. Jayananda had worked on this huge parade float for so long, and now he is ready to ditch the whole thing because the top was no good? I didn't really understand what Rath Yatra was at the time, so like an innocent child, I approached Jayananda and naively appealed to him. Why can't we just use Balaram's cart the way it is, without the canopy? It's still quite spectacular with the huge 8-foot wheels. Jayananda looked at me like I was totally nuts. I later realized what I was asking could be compared to approaching Michelangelo's and saying, "Look, I realize the head of your marble carving of David just broke off and crashed to the floor, but the rest of the sculpture is really pretty fantastic, so why not just take off what's left of the torso on premiere tomorrow and unveil the statue of David without his head?" Jayananda would have had nothing to do with such a crazy idea. "No," he insisted. "Balaram's cart is out." He kept saying things like, "I just don't have the time, manpower, or material to fix Balaram's cart. We still need to get Jagannath and Subhadra's cart done. There is so much we still have to do. Balaram's cart is out. It's too dangerous. We must modify the other carts so the same thing doesn't happen with them. Oh my, how are we going to do all this? Balaram will have to ride with Subhadra. What a mess. I'm sorry. That's what we'll have to do. We have to make space on Subhadra's cart so Balaram can ride with her. Balaram's cart is done." Episode 7, The Parade Must Go On, with just two carts. I was new to Rath carts. I hadn't been part of the original team, which had been working steadily for the last 6 months, and I felt really out of place to say anything at this point. But I could see how terribly disappointed Jayananda was, and he made it very clear that he could only do so much in the next 12 hours. So when Balaram's cart splashed all over the parking lot, Jayananda instinctively shifted to damage control. His brain immediately started focusing on preserve what we have. It was the right choice because he simply did not have the time to complete the two good carts, which still required some minor work, and now also had to be modified so that they would not face the same disastrous fate. Jayananda was rightfully concerned. If this were going to happen tomorrow, with the other carts during the parade, when there would be thousands of people around, somebody would get hurt. He wasn't going to let that happen. Srila Prabhupada had inspected the carts the day before. So as far as everyone at the temple was concerned, everything was fine and the parade was going to proceed ahead without a flaw. However, within minutes after Balaram's top fell, a whole sea of devotees who had just arrived from other cities came down from the 55th Street Temple, hoping to see the carts ready to go in their glory. Needless to say, things got very chaotic when it was evident that Balaram's cart had gone splunk, and this just created even more distress in Jayananda's heart. He was apologizing to everyone while correctly insisting that safety had to be our first priority. He was terribly disappointed, but he would not compromise on anything that might put someone at risk of getting hurt. While Jayananda was doing the best he could to send a clear message back to the temple about how we would have to cut the parade down from three carts to a two-cart procession, I began surveying what had happened more carefully. I felt Jayananda's evident pain, but I was not burdened with the emotional angst that he was clearly experiencing. After all, he was the sole fulcrum point for all decision-making, and he was ultimately responsible for the safe completion of these huge Roth carts. Within seconds, he had been suddenly thrust into crisis mode, regardless of the fact that he was exhausted and needed to sleep for a week. Episode 8, Surveying the Damage. I figured if I could not make any tangible suggestions, it would be better to just get out of the way and let Jayananda do what he could do, what he did best, and simply lead us. Balaram's cart looked like it had been beheaded, but I wasn't ready to walk away from it without clearly studying what had happened. I was not the one who was immediately swamped with the new concerns by the abrupt change in events. I enjoyed the liberty of just being a helper. So in that way, I was perhaps in a better position to seek out and consider other alternatives we may have other than the immediate reaction of completely abandoning Balaram's cart altogether. Yes, it certainly looked like a huge mess all over the parking lot. There was tangled ropes, shattered hoop rings, twisted cables, and a mangled crown assembly which broke into splinters when it toppled from about 40 feet in the air. In the few days I had an opportunity to work on the carts, I gleaned enough information to understand the basic concept for holding the canopy up. Despite how massive and permanent the structure might appear to the public, it was assembled like a big box kite. The canopy was like a square sail that was suspended on hoops, frames that hung from one central crown piece that is thrust up into the air by a multi-stage expanding telescoping tower. I am not the type of person to walk away from 6 months of hard work because of an untimely setback, and I took Lord Vayu's intercession as a personal challenge. Supersoul was pushing me to see if there was any possibility of piecing Balaram's cart back together from what was still left, albeit smashed all over the tarmac. The canopy was tangled in ropes, but did not appear to be ripped. The ropes were twisted, but they could be untangled. The hoops were just 2x2 wood pieces that could be either replaced or perhaps lashed together and then glued. The top frame could also be nailed and lashed with glue. Yes. It would be a lot of busy work, probably an all-night surge. But if we had some extra hands, it seemed we might be able to rebuild the top structure by the time the sun hit the morning horizon. Episode 9, Two Conditions. When the word got out about our misfortune, the stream of devotees from the temple increased even more. When I approached Jayananda, he was explaining to everyone what had happened and how we would proceed the next day. I managed to pull him away long enough to ask if he would allow me to try and repair Balaram's cart. At first, he had a hard time comprehending what I was offering to do. In his head, he had completely dismissed the idea of Balaram's cart being in the parade, and now, just a few minutes later, he was already fully focused on Plan B. His primary concern now was the strength of Jagannath's telescope, which had been built as an exact duplicate of the one which had just completely failed on Balaram's cart. Jayananda was noticeably very nervous about the possibility of Jagannath's equally huge canopy also catching a strong, unexpected wind and crashing down during the parade, where someone would surely get hurt. Although I did not fully understand why Jayananda trusted my judgment, but it was evident from the numerous impromptu consultation meetings we had leading up to this moment under less stressful circumstances that he did. I think that was the only reason why he was willing to stop long enough to listen to my proposal, while he was clearly absorbed in a flood of other compelling distractions, responsibilities, and emotional turmoil. So when he finally understood what I was proposing, he stopped to think about it. He did not dwell on it for long. In his next breath, he said he would allow me to proceed with my plan to rebuild Balaram's cart into the night under two conditions. The first was that I could not ask for any of the existing crew members that were already on the site at that time to help me. He made it clear that he was relying on all of them to work with him through the night to get the other two surviving carts fully ready for the parade. The second condition was I could not drag him off focus from what he was doing. He didn't want me to distract him with the million questions because he felt he wouldn't be able to get everything done on time if he got involved in the rebuild of Balaram's cart. I could tell Jayananda wanted to immediately get to work, so I told him I would accept his terms, although I knew I couldn't possibly do the job on my own. We didn't discuss it long because the sun was setting over the west bank of the Hudson River and the carts were scheduled to be moved to the intersection of 5th Avenue and 60th Street at 6 a.m. the next morning before the city awoke. That was where we left it. Jayananda endorsed our agreement with a sobering, "Hari Bol, good luck." As he ran off to tend to the task which lay ahead of him, he called back, "I will pray that Lord Jagannath gives you the intelligence to succeed, Prabhu." Plan C. I took a deep breath and went back to the Balaram's cart, immediately realizing the first order of business was to figure out where I could get some help. I knew I couldn't possibly do everything that needed to be done by myself, and I needed a team of volunteers that would be willing to work with me, perhaps all night long. Devotees from Washington, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Boston, and even further destinations had begun to arrive for the parade scheduled the next morning. They were just curious to see the historic carts Jayananda had built, and they were streaming onto the Rath Yatra construction site. I also noticed that two talented devotees from the New York Temple had apparently heard about Lord Vayu's untimely prank and had come down to see the damage. One of them was the mechanic Anandaki, and the other one was a sculptor from Australia by the name of Bhaskara. After explaining about the problem we faced, I asked if they would be willing to stay up and help me patch Balaram's cart together, and they generously agreed. I then got on top of the cart and asked the crowd of devotees that were meandering around if I could get three or four more volunteers to stay up late and help repair the cart. More surrendered souls stepped forward. Within a very short time, Plan C began taking shape. I put the vigilant crew to work, separating the huge wrinkled canopy from the tangled mess. Everyone wanted this to work. We were fired up. We wanted to please Jayananda. Of course, we wanted to please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Balaram as well. But it was Jayananda's legendary dedication, which was right there in the parking lot, working harder than all of us, which compelled the crew to pull it together. We were going to bring life back to Balaram's cart, and we were feeling Lord Jagannath's unstoppable mood. As the canopy moved away, more of this destruction became visible. Now we could see what was left of the steel telescope in the center of the cart used to lift the canopy. I discovered that the main second square piece of tubular steel, an essential component for the second stage of the canopy, was hopelessly twisted and mangled way beyond repair. It appeared like we had indeed hit an impassable roadblock. The simple review of the linear formula we now confronted pointed to the unfortunate fact that our wishful thinking had come to an abrupt halt. No tubular steel, no telescope. No telescope, no canopy. No canopy, no Balaram cart for the parade. Ugh. It was about 5 p.m. on Saturday night. I envisioned calling someone to open their shop so we could purchase a new piece of tubular steel. My heart sank because I knew that was pretty unlikely, that somebody in Manhattan at 7 p.m. on a Saturday night would be sitting around in a big steel supply warehouse ready to sell us what we needed. I sought out Jayananda, who was like a commando running between Jagannath's cart and Subhadra's cart, getting everything ready for the parade the next day. But then he had solved the problem of how to minimize the risk of having the other carts also topple over. He was directing his crew not to raise the canopy all the way up. Only extend the second stage of the telescope 5 feet, he was instructing the cart crews. Jayananda was making all adjustments at the last minute. If we extend the second stage to a full 10 feet, it could also crash down like Balaram's cart. He was making marks on the ropes and going over the new procedures with the crew while I was approaching him frantically saying, Jayananda, we need to get another piece of steel. Otherwise, we can't fix Balaram's cart. The telescope is too badly mangled. Where do we go? What do we need to do? I will take the truck. Give me directions. Episode 11, Wishful Thinking. Jayananda turned to me and he said, you have to be dreaming. The place we got the steel from is all the way out in Brooklyn, and it's closed now. Then he paused. I told you Balaram's cart was out. I appreciate your efforts, but we can't get another piece of steel. Not at this time. It's too late. I was tenacious. I just didn't want to give in to failure. So I asked if we could call the guy who owns the shop and see if we would open the store to sell us the steel tubing we needed. After all, I was thinking, this is Lord Balaram's cart. And we're talking about he needs a quick repair job on his chariot by tomorrow morning. Certainly the guy in Brooklyn would appreciate that. I could tell by the look on Jayananda's face that he was exhausted. And he was still very concerned about getting the other two carts ready by 6 a.m. the next day. No, he said, that's not going to happen. We can't get another piece of steel this late in the day. Everything is closed. We are done. Let the other Prabhus go back to the temple, and you can help us on the two good carts. Again, my heart sank. I wanted to suggest using the topless cart just as it was, again, but I knew that Jayananda would not agree to that. And if I brought it up a second time, I would just waste more of his very little precious time we had left. So I turned to go tell my very short-lived and fired-up crew that we had met defeat. And we could not proceed without the critical missing part. I was bummed out. I knew we could do it if we had the steel tubing, but there was no way we'd get another one in time to complete the work by 6 a.m. the next day. The New York traffic at 7 p.m. on a Saturday night was impossible. The store was way off in Brooklyn, and it was closed. I sadly had to concede what Jayananda had been saying all along. We're done. Balaram's cart is out. I was saddened, and I wasn't feeling good about the announcement I had to make to my fledgling crew. I went back to explain all this to my enthusiastic but now disappointed team of last-minute volunteers. The reality of defeat had set in. Even though we had failed to achieve the desired outcome, I thanked everyone for their willingness to try and tried to be upbeat about the fact that we would still have a two-car parade the next day. But I could see none of us were happy with this resignation. I was starting to feel the mood of defeat that Jayananda was rapidly bouncing back from. Episode 12, Balaram's Triumph Over Vayu. After I dispatched the bad news, I saw Jayananda approaching our little huddle. I figured he also wanted to thank these devotees and perhaps amalgamate my emergency crew into his completion effort. So I waited for him to approach before releasing everyone to go back to the temple. Jayananda looked different. His walk had a more cheerful bounce in it, and he appeared to have a conservatively radiant demeanor of hope in his facial expression. He was waving his arms back and forth in a peculiar way to obviously get my attention. When he got in our presence, he said, "Mahesh, hey Prabhu, what part exactly did you need?" He wanted clarification on just what part of steel it was that I needed to replace. I took him over to the twisted piece of steel tubing, which was originally straight, but now looked like one of those crazy straws that kids love to drink from. He then said, "You know, I'm not sure, but did you check way down at the end of the train loading dock? I think we purchased an extra piece of that very same steel extrusion several months ago. It may still be sitting there. Go check." Could it be so? Nandagi, Bhaskara, and myself went frantically running to where he indicated the square pipe might be. And, sure enough, just as if Lord Balaram had planned it all along, there was the exact piece of replacement steel that we needed to fix the canopy. We all let out a huge, "Hari Bo, Jai Jagannath!" And we started jumping around like a bunch of kids. We came triumphantly running back with the coveted Roth part, and all the volunteers and the midnight repair crew threw themselves back into the mood of the heave-ho. We would prevail. Lord Balaram would not be held in checkmate by Lord Vayu. To the credit of all the surrendered souls, we worked all through the night. As we got portions done, I would send devotees back to the temple, a few at midnight, a few more at 2 a.m. As we approached daybreak, the big blue temple sail was back up. The telescope had been calibrated to not go all the way up, and we raised Balaram's canopy top for the second time. Jayananda was practically crying with ecstatic symptoms. And that in itself also made me weak with emotional ecstasy. He kept saying he couldn't believe it. He was beaming. He was so happy. The parade would go on just as it had been planned for so many months. He was falling all over. It was much more praise than that was appropriate. But that was the way Jayananda was. I could feel his soul reaching out to me and the crew, which had stayed up all night with oceans of gratitude. He wanted to please Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to please Balaram. And we all wanted to do that, and we also wanted to please Jayananda, because he was the embodiment of hard work, leadership, setting the example, and a very well-rounded, responsible, and likable devotee. Everyone loved to work with him, and he made everyone feel great about whatever little contribution a person would offer. So for those few moments on that morning, it was quite a thrill. We were all vibrating with feelings of triumph over Maya's distracting attempts to interfere. All the angst from the previous evenings were dissipating with the darkness as the sun rose. It was going to be a historic moment for the people of New York after all. Lord Jagannath, his sister Subhadra, and Brother Balaram were each riding their own majestic chariots down what Srila Prabhupada referred to as the most important street in the world. It was going to be a great day. Episode 13. Vaikuntha in a Concrete Canyon. The temple had arranged for three vans to come tow the carts to Fifth Avenue at 6 a.m. We were exhausted, but we were ready. Jayananda wanted me to assist by coordinating the transport of Balaram's cart to the start of the parade, which I did while he and his crew supervised the dispatch of the other two carts. We finally got back to the temple at around 7 a.m. While we were going back to the temple, Jayananda continued to embrace my friendship in ways that made me feel like $1 million. He was like this tremendously lovingly big brother, and I felt great to bask in his affectionate association. When we got to the temple, we rested for about 3 hours. He came and got me when it was time to return to the parade site, and before 11 a.m., when the parade was to begin, it was a beautiful day. Jayananda was ecstatic. While we got a short nap after a long night, the freshly painted bear carts had been magically transformed with all sorts of decorations that included flower garlands, flags, candy, balloons of all shapes and sizes and colors. The Roth carts now looked like they had descended directly from Vaikuntha and mystically appeared at the beginning of this cold canyon in New York's concrete. Jayananda positioned himself in front of Jagannath's cart. And Japavan was steering Balaram's cart from the ground the way it had been done back in those days. I had been assigned to manage the overhauled canopy on top of Balaram's cart, and I felt like I was so blessed to be part of such a huge event. When the parade began, Jayananda danced with abandon in front of Lord Jagannath's cart while he steered it down Fifth Avenue. People peered out the windows, which seemed to stretch past the top of the sky, and a photographer caught the moment, which was later immortalized on the cover of the June 1977 Back to Godhead the following year. There it is, right there. At 42nd Street, Srila Prabhupada was escorted to Shabarja's cart and got on his Vyasasan. The parade culminated with a huge reception in Washington Square Park, where His Divine Grace gave a wonderful lecture to the huge public gathering that had come for the festival. We had prevailed. All our hard work paid off. It was a wonderful feeling, and for at least that day, New York had been transformed into something very, very special. Episode 14. I don't know where Archie is, but there's another slide. If you want to put the other slide up, I'll try to explain it, so don't worry. Only a handful of individuals really know the full story of what happened the night before the New York 76 Rath Yatra parade. However, there is a photographic evidence that reveals the tale of this harrowing event, which challenged our resolve and bonded our spirits. Jayananda's triumphant mood was eloquently captured in a photo on the June 1977 issue of Back to Godhead, as mentioned above. On page 8 of that same issue, there is a small photo of three carts as they proceeded down Fifth Avenue. And I believe that's in the middle, down at the bottom. If one looks closely, they will see that the canopies on Jagannath and Balaram's cart are not fully raised. This is evident by the position of the rectangular-shaped design that is normally painted above the separate from the bottom shading panel, which extends out over the deities. So if you look at the top of these photographs, the picture on the right, of course, on the left is the photo on Back to Godhead. The one on the left side, on the right side, is the actual, that's the way a cart's supposed to look. That's actually the Los Angeles Roth carts. And you'll see there's that kind of curved shape and a line on the bottom. And you'll see there's a little gap there between that and the yellow bar, which is the canopy for the deities. But if you look at the one down below, yeah, there you go, where the arrow is, you'll see there is no gap there. Now, most people probably don't notice that, but for those of us who build these kind of things, we notice it. And that's because, yeah, thank you for doing that. You can see there is no gap. And that's because the cart wasn't cranked up all the way because of this very serious concern that we had that if the wind caught it, it could go over again. And you can't really see it in this photograph, but the third cart back, which is the one that we're describing in this story, it's also the same way. So the carts actually could have gone up about another 4 or 5 feet, But for safety's sake, we didn't bring them up. Anyhow, so we can see at the top of the rounded portion of that design, but the bottom rectangular section can clearly be seen bleeding into the top of the shading panel. That's because the canopy was not lifted far enough for it to be visually set off on its own. The big sail-like blue tent could have been raised another 5 feet, but for safety's sake, that was not done. The photos taken on that day will tell this untold story to those who look carefully for this detail. So then there's a little last episode here. I'm not really sure who told me this. I think Ratnabhushana told me this, so I'm not sure really who he heard it from, but it's a really nice little sort of post-salutation for the story. The Unknown Observers. Few people know this story behind the night before this important parade, but apparently there was an old, retired husband and wife who had watched the entire drama. As the carts were being built and rose up from the dilapidated train station, they watched the daily progress from their apartment balcony. Every day, they peered down across 11th Avenue to see the devotees toil on the big three Roth carts, a sight they had never seen before. After the parade, they sought out members of the Roth construction crew to tell them that they were watching when Balaram's cart blew over and how it broke their hearts to see it happen. Yet, they kept watching. In fact, they apparently peeked out several times through the night to see the devotees toiling to put the broken Roth cart back together again. They were so moved by the experience that they came to the temple to tell the devotees how happy it made them to see that we did not give up. It was apparent that for these seniors, the ability to watch the daily progress of the chariot construction, then the collapse and subsequent revival of Balaram's cart, was one of the most exhilarating things that they had done in a long time, and they wanted to thank the devotees for making sure this story had a happy ending. Thank you very much. So I don't know, I guess there's questions after class, but I don't know how hurried we are, but if there's any questions, I'll try to answer them. Good. Yeah?